Blog Talk Radio.
Pop Rocks Radio Talk Show, the big show. You found it. I sure am glad you did. I, of course, am Jamie Rocks. I'm your host, and we're back in business. Man, we have, I tell you, Danny and I went on vacation last weekend up to Disney World for the weekend. We come back, well, actually, right before we left, right at Halloween there, our internet started going in and out, and it's crazy. We're supposed to have the best you can buy, like the top tier of the system. We certainly pay for that. And, It wasn't happening, man. So we had, long story short, we've had 5 techs come out, and they went right up the hierarchy of techs ladder there. I don't want to say which company it is. I will give you this hint. It begins with an A and ends with a T, and there's a letter in between. Anyhow, they finally got it all worked out. It turns out the issue wasn't on with us. It was at the highway where the main box is. So, knock on wood, we're cooking with grease now, and the show is back up. Yeah, we've been off for a week now. I don't know what to do with myself. I don't know how to – I'm all out of sorts with it. But, you know, the cool thing is we've got some returning guests today that are two of my favorite people. They're very, very good at what they do, and they have a movie that's being released and coming – well, I guess it was released last month. But it's one of these gradual release deals where they it's released in some areas last month and then in others this month. So I'd like to welcome Mr. Jody Wheeler and Steve Parker, filmmakers, and the new movie is The Dark Place. Gentlemen, how are you?
Pretty good.
Great awesome. To be here.
Outstanding. I'm so glad to have you guys back. And I was glad to see that you guys had another film out because it's been a while, but about a year, I think, since you guys have been on, maybe longer. I'm not sure. But you're so good. I really.
Yeah, we were on, oh. I think, in 2017 or 2018.
Wow.
It's crazy.
Oh, man. Well, I'm glad you guys are back, and I watched this movie the other day and just really, really enjoyed it. The Dark Place. Now, this is kind of – I did not know this about the film world until I started doing the show. And you know me. I am not in the movie business. I paint pictures of people, but I really – I'm a movie buff. I'm one of those guys who just into movies. But I didn't know this, that people make films and sometimes they don't get released for a year or two. Was that the case with this one? Because I keep seeing different times and dates and in all the stuff.
This one had a kind of a crazy staggered video film festival theatrical rollout of it over an extended period of time. And that was... Mm-hmm. It's not like we were with a super big distribution company that put it out there all at once and put a lot of marketing dollars behind it. We kind of had a really crazy rollout on this, but we wanted to have all the bases covered from video to some kind of theatrical. Even I thought that we weren't going to quite get any kind of theatrical on it, and Steve was determined to get a theatrical, and come hell or high water, he got the theatrical for it. So that was really
gotta have it.
Absolutely. Well, that's taking place tomorrow, right, in Los Angeles?
Yeah, we were in San Francisco earlier this week, and we were in New York 2 weeks ago for a week. So we've kind of hit three of the big cities here domestically. There might be some, we're still waiting to hear about anything on the foreign side of stuff. But there's also, you know, the film can also be found on video, on iTunes and Amazon. So in this day and age, if you're not Star Wars or the Avengers, you've kind of got to do everything roughly at once or staggered or whatever, because everything feeds into everything else, and people will hear about it on one format and go see it on another format and then tell their friends to watch it on a third format. That's just kind of what indie producers have to do with their projects.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And, you know, it's funny because I'm an old man. I just got one of the little home assistants, you know, the voice activated, kind of like an Alexa, but uh-huh. not an Alexa. And I used to always just, like an old man, go on and on about, I'm like, oh, these kids, you're listening to music on your phone. You're watching movies on your phone. You can't get the effect with that, you know? And, oh, my God. So they sent me this little thing, and we plugged it in. Danny, my gal, got it working. And the music, the sound that came out of it was amazing. I totally didn't know what I was talking about. And so I always am critical of people. I'm like, how can you watch a film on your phone, you know, on the train or something? But I mean, I guess if that's what you're used to, then that's what people are doing.
I mean, a lot
of
this stuff is just always changing. I mean, one of the things, so I've got Siri at home in a HomePod, and mm-hmm. one of the things is that I no longer look at a clock. I simply say, hey, Siri, what time is it? And someone
right.
answers me.
I
was going to say that it seems to be kind of a generational thing, too, that for me, I'm 50 now, and I grew up when the VHS era kind of hit, and I saw a lot of films on VHS tape, and that was still on big screens, and also theatrical, and then some stuff on TV. And then the next generations that come along, they're seeing them on computers and then now on phones. And it's just media is now consumed in kind of multiple ways. I remember all of the directors and all that thought that watching a theatrical film on VHS was, you know, was a poor substitute. And so now we're saying the same things about, you know, phones and pads, but that's just how media and stories are consumed. And since a lot of this takes place in your imagination, it's however you get it into the imagination that's the important part.
Right. Absolutely.
And actually,
absolutely.
If I can jump in.
Oh,
so
of course.
At the moment, I now live in Oslo, Norway. One of the things,
really?
If you want to know how different this is, yes, I do, really. How different it is, on the subway going to work in the morning, I watch people watching movies on their phone in the subway. It just works. And that's time they have free. So they whip out their phone and start watching. So I can't blame them. What, you know, it's better than sitting idly, you know, going home. Why am I in the subway? I'll watch a
right.
movie.
Absolutely. I started since doing this show. I started watching so many more movies than I used to. And I used to watch a lot. I start timing things in movie time. We just went up to Disney World last weekend, and it's a 3-hour drive, and we went with my future in-laws. They were driving, and I was sitting in the back seat, and I was thinking to myself, I could have watched a movie and a half on this trip, you know. I really could have done that. But
that's right.
You know, it's weird. It's its own currency almost, you know, and temporal currency. But so you guys, first off, I can't just skip by this. Oslo, how did that happen? That's since we've talked last. I thought you guys were like based in the Bay Area.
I'm in Los Angeles where it's warm. Steve has this wandering soul and decided he could do his work from where it's frickin' freezing. And he's like, okay, I'm going to go do my work from where it's frickin' freezing. I'm like, okay, good luck.
And by the way, today we had our first snow. So.
Oh, wow.
It's a special day.
Joe,
yeah, that's
just I don't know if I can handle that.
Isn't
the time like really weird too? Like the sunset and isn't it like the sun goes down real late or something like that? I mean, I don't know. I've never been to Norway.
That's in the winter. In the summer, it's the opposite. In the summer, sunsets are like 11:15 p.m.
Wow.
So it's really long days. So you need blackout shades in your bedroom in the summer. You definitely don't need blackout shades in the winter. It's not too bad. I think about now sunrise is around about 7:30 a.m. So it's not too bad, but it's going to get later.
Wow. Crazy. Well, so this is interesting. So you guys have a working business relationship, half a world away.
Now spanning continents.
Is it just a lot of Skyping?
For most of our business relationships, Steve was in San Francisco and I was in Los Angeles. And so...
Okay.
You know, that was the same time zone, so we were able – so that was easier to make work. And now Steve is in Norway, and so that adds another complication. But it's not as crazy as you think. I mean, given all of this – the technological marvels that we have, it does make talking and keeping, pretty easy. Steve is talking on his American telephone number with his American SIM card in his iPhone in Norway. And so it all kind of ties in and ties together. And that's part of the beauty of our modern era.
The future is now. The future, it's all happening. Steve, I think that's the coolest thing ever I've heard all day. This is amazing.
Well, thank you. Yeah, I think it's pretty amazing too.
That's fantastic.
It's a beautiful place. So.
And now, folks, a couple quick messages from some of our show sponsors. Stay tuned. We'll be back with the rest of the interview after these quick messages.
The Starlight Lounge presents An Evening with the Progressive Box.
Old moon. Yeah. That's Hugo tickling the ivories. He just saved by bundling home and auto with Progressive. Gonna finally buy a ring for that gal of yours, Hugo? Send her my condolences. Hi-oh! This next one's for you, too. There's a burglar in my heart. Thank you.
Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Discounts not available in all states or situations.
Support for this podcast comes from the University of Texas MD Anderson Cancer Center, ranked one of the top cancer centers in the nation for the last 27 years. The doctors at MD Anderson treat more rare cancers in a single day than many physicians see in a lifetime, and treatment plans are tailored to an individual patient's needs, allowing more comprehensive and thorough care. To become a patient, please visit MakingCancerHistory.com.
Hey guys, Jamie Rocks here. Hey, last year I was on holiday with my girlfriend Danny. We were at Disney World and having a great time. It's the happiest place on earth. And I dropped my vape, just like a Butterfingers, and it was a pain in the neck. They just don't have anything there to replace it and whatnot. So we had to drive 45 minutes each way to get a new one. And, that's an hour and a half out of our day, man. But anyway, that wouldn't have happened because if I would have had this fantastic new product, the C-Ring, it's very, very cool. What it is it attaches to your vape, designed to protect your investment with comfort, flexibility while doing your day-to-day activity. What it does is it goes in there, you put your finger in there, and you hold it, and you're not dropping your vape, breaking it and whatnot. It's very, very cool, and if you need both hands, they have a lanyard you can hook to, and it's awesome. It's awesome. The C-Ring, you can find out more about it and pick one up at their website, www.thecring.com. Again, that's www.thecring.com.
Be smart. Be like me. Get a C-ring if you're a vapor. Very, very good. Oh, and hey, holidays are coming up, man. This is a very cool gift for somebody. If you have somebody on your shopping list that vapes like I do, get them a C-ring. TheC-ring.com. I have to ask, and then we're definitely going to get to the movies. Was this move? Because it's kind of, you know, the time frame and whatnot. I personally had a lot of friends, the current political climate and whatnot, were saying, you know, I'm out of here, man. This is what nobody left. Steve, you're the only friend that I knew that actually left the country for any extended period of time. Did that have anything to do with it, or was it just Norway, someplace you always wanted to go?
Yeah. So, by the way, I have like three or four people I know who have left the country for exactly that reason. And that's one of the reasons, except I actually came here originally just kind of as a lark. You know, he who shall not be named had just been elected, and I said, I need to get out of town. And Norway had just been chosen by the United Nations happiness report as the happiest place on earth. And I decided to go, and then I was reminded, oh, wait, I mean, I actually have extended family here, and they wanted to see me while I was here instead of in San Francisco. And one thing led to another, and I just fell in love with the country, the people, even the language. Jeg elsker Norge.
Well, that's fantastic. That's fantastic. I've always been a big fan of AHA, so, you know, it can't be all bad. Jody, can you believe these crazy artist types, you know, just moving across the world like that? Crazy. I'm so envious.
He works with me. He can believe crazy.
Now, see, Steve, when Jody wants to get away, he just goes to Anaheim for the weekend. He's all set. I'm kidding.
I do like to go out to the desert. Springs and get away from the world out in the middle of the desert. That kind of works too.
I gotcha. Yeah, Joshua Tree and all that. That's Palm Springs. Real nice. Palm Springs.
Yeah.
Palm Springs. Oh man. Every time I go, I'm inspired to do. I'll see something on a house out there, and I'm like, oh, I have to recreate that in Florida. Yeah, that doesn't work. Usually, but I try. Hey, so. The Dark Place. Tell me how this film, this idea came about. Because not only did you direct it, you also wrote it, Jody, and unbeknownst to me, I just saw this, was one of the producers on it as well. Doesn't surprise me, but, you know, man with many hats. How did all this come about?
This was an idea that I had many, many years ago. And when I first moved to Los Angeles, well, I think now 20 years ago, it was one of the first films that I pitched around town and got some interest, but I didn't quite have enough of the juice or whatever to get it made. So I in between then and the start of the production, I'd gone back to school, got a degree in film and in writing, wrote the full-on script there, and Steve and I met up on another production that he and I both produced on, and you know, and I shared the script with him, and he loved it. We did the revisions to make it work on the screen as an indie film. But you know, it was an idea about how families, you're kind of stuck with the family that you have, and you're stuck with the family that you choose, for good or for bad, for whatever you do, and how do you kind of interact with them, and how do you kind of interact with your past history, with who you are in the moment, who you want to be in the future. And somewhere along the way, I started thinking about how much that history does impact on how one interacts with people. And I thought about, you know, if you can't get away from your past, not just figuratively and emotionally, but actually quite literally, you have a mind that's just full of your past. You see it as as much present every day, how does that kind of impact in everything? And since I just am kind of a genre junkie, I threw that in with just some mystery thriller elements. And over time, you know, this film just kind of took form and took shape. And what you see is what came from that.
Oh, it's amazing. And the concept, I did not know, I'm going to mess up the pronunciation of this. Hyperthymesia, I believe, is how it's pronounced. I'm probably way off on that, though.
That's right.
Oh, all right. Hey, what do you know? What do you know? I'm cooking with Brinks today. But it's this concept, this ability, and it's a real thing, apparently. This kind of visual, video, almost video-esque recall, where you remember everything. Sounds great, but
yeah,
I don't think it really would be. Think about it.
It's pretty fascinating.
Know?
I took some liberties with it in order to make it work for the movie, and I believe we're at the point now where there's about 20 cases that have been studied. So we're still trying to understand the outs of how it works in reality, how accurate the memory is. It's actually pretty accurate memory. Some people report it as being the best thing in the world. There are some people that report it as being an actual nightmare. And it's just, I was a clinical psychologist, a clinical counselor once upon a time, and that just really kind of fascinated me about how that might work, and I just rolled into the writing.
No, it's amazing. It's amazing. I'm telling you, I don't want to relive that 3-hour trip from Disney World back again. No, I'm kidding. The conversation was, in case they're listening, I loved it. It was a fascinating conversation. Best time I ever had.
There's another fascinating story about the making of the movie. So the movie actually began shooting with the director from our previous project at the helm.
Wow.
And on day three, he unfortunately had a psychotic break on set.
Really?
In fact, literally, I was flying up from San Francisco for production, and someone else was directing the movie when I got on the airplane. And when I got off the airplane in Portland, by the time I got to set, I'm
Jody.
Like, oh, hi, here's Jody. And then it took me a minute. I'm like, oh, wait a minute. He's directing. So
wow.
It falls into the category of crazy things that happen to film artists, basically. After the fact, we ended up finding out that we aren't alone in having this kind of experience. We'd had to essentially rearrange the production when he was not able to continue. And thankfully, Jody was there on set. And so literally it was, okay, break for lunch. And when we came back from lunch, he was directing. So
wow. So
that was pretty special.
We hope
never to have that happen again.
And now, folks, a couple quick messages from some of our show sponsors. Stay tuned. We'll be back with the rest of the interview after these quick messages.
Right now at Sprint, get any next generation Samsung Galaxy phone and get the new Galaxy S10e to use on us with Sprint Flex Lease. The Galaxy S10e has a pro-grade camera for effortless pro-quality images. Visit a local Sprint store, sprint.com/Samsung, or call 800-SPRINT-1. Galaxy S10e, $31.25 per month, second phone $0 per month after $31.25 per month credit. Apply within 2 bills. Requires 2 new lines and 18-month leases. If you cancel early, remaining balance due. Excludes tax, subject to credit, $30 activation fee and restrictions. Offer and coverage not everywhere.
Aloha. If you have stress in your life or even anxiety and panic, I want to invite you to the Anxiety Coaches Podcast for a way out. The Anxiety Coaches Podcast is a relaxing and inspiring show bringing you lifestyle changes to calm your nervous system and help you heal anxiety, panic, and PTSD for life. We bring you 2 episodes every week. There's no need to walk this path alone. Join us for a relaxing, informative, and inspiring time and start your journey out of anxiety panic. That's anxietycoachespodcast.com. Aloha.
Hey there, my name is Paige Beatty, and I am the founder of Hats On and Hats Off, which are 2 separate companies but aligned by the same philosophy of raising cancer awareness and forming smiles. Hats On is a for-profit corporation that sells cancer-specific hats to be proudly worn by you in hopes of raising awareness. A percentage of the proceeds will be donated to Hats Off, which is a nonprofit corporation raising money to buy wigs for cancer patients who can't afford them. That's where we're forming smiles. I believe cancer has touched almost everyone's lives in one way or another, a friend, a family member, a friend of a friend. So please visit our website, www.hatsonhatsoff.com, to learn how you can help raise awareness and form smiles.
Rucks Gear, the online web shop of high-end luxury merchandise and products, all featuring original pop art paintings. From La Jolla to Miami to London, www.merch.jamierocks.us.
Hey folks, located in the hills of Tennessee, L'Apothecary Unique offers all natural, organic, gluten-free skincare, hair care products, perfumed oils, medicinal salves, makeup, incense, and aromatherapy items, bath salts, and even much more, including something special for the fellows, like beard and mustache balm, astringent, and aftershave. Each item is made to order just for you. So check out LapothecaryUnique.com, spelled LapothecaryUnique. L'ApothecaryUnique.com.
Right.
Yeah,
I mean, can imagine.
It was pretty sad. It was pretty sad to go through. I mean, you know, somebody gets sick in the middle of early on in production, and that kind of throws things off. So that was sad. That was sad to see. And I directed a lot of short films before and produced a lot, but I was watching somebody else direct because I thought I could watch somebody else direct and then I'd be ready to direct a feature, you know, the next time around. And the universe kind of had other ideas. And, you know, somebody got sick and then I just stepped in. And thankfully, all the work that I had done in my previous life between being a counselor and being a social worker had not prepared me for that moment, but it wasn't that difficult to, well, it's always difficult, but I was used to being able to step into a really, you know, crazy out of control situation and try to find a ground point and then move out from there. It's hard. It's stressful. I don't want to, you know, I'm not going to underplay any of that. It's just, it kind of worked out because I had a skill set that worked in that moment. I don't want to do it again. I don't want to do it that way again.
Right.
I'd actually forgotten until just now as we were talking about this. We gave Jody an onset therapist credit as a result of the fact he'd had to lean on that background. But it was traumatic personally and professionally. It required a lot of leadership from both of us to get, I mean, it was like, what, 25 people, all of whom, you know, needed something as we made what was an unfortunate adjustment.
Well, that's crazy.
Some of the crew had thought that the film was quite literally over when the incident happened, because that's just what you kind of expect in that moment. And it took a lot. It took a lot of time and energy to get everybody to buy back in to the project. And then you have to kind of re-gel, as it were, and then you have to kind of move forward. And that just takes a lot of work to make all of that stuff happen. And it's a lot of props to the cast and the crew that they were able to change gears and kind of move forward and make this thing happen.
And you know,
a leadership position.
Another thing to remember is this was a 20-day shoot, 20 days of 12 hours that were planned out incredibly tightly. And so in the middle of all this, anything that's that disruptive, it makes it so hard. You've essentially got to make up time, even if you lose 5 minutes, and it's a lot more than five minutes when you've got to change the direction of a whole team.
If you're on a pirate ship and suddenly there's a big hole in the side, people get a little nervous, a little skittish.
Absolutely.
Is this thing going down? Better have a good captain up there at the wheel. Oh, unfortunately, you guys did. And when that just goes to show, I know people, not in movies, but like little projects or whatever, some hiccup, and hiccups happen. Things happen, it's just that's part of life. But man, they lose it. And I saw somebody that happened, about a month ago, I'm thinking in my head, there's a situation, not important what the details were, but a hiccup happened and this person just lost it. It all came crashing down. And I was thinking about that after, and I said, it didn't have to go that way, but it did for them because they weren't in that position like you guys are in professionally and life experience, I think, to hold it together.
It was kind of hilarious. It was kind of hilarious because about a week into the shoot, I had a day where we had to shoot effectively 5 hours worth of, I'm going to say 5 hours worth of stuff, and we only had an hour in which to shoot it in based on how it was written and everything else. And so while they were setting up to do it, I walked over to a corner, and I'm actually having to reimagine and rewrite what I need in order to be able to do it in the hour or two that we had. And I'm kind of walking around in circles, and I'm kind of talking to myself, and I'm almost kind of dancing with it in order to get all these beats to go. And one of the assistants walks over to me, and she just gave me this quizzical look, and she's like, "Are you okay?" And I looked at her, and I didn't understand what was going on. And then I looked up above her at a couple of people that were looking at, and they thought I had lost it too. And I busted out laughing, and I said, I'm fine. I'm not breaking down. I was just lost in the story, remaking it work. And don't get confused, don't get scared. This is just what I did. And we came back, and I replayed the vision and told them, this is what we're going to do. This is what we're going to drop. And we got that, 5 hours of shooting done in an hour and a half, and it made perfect sense in the story, and it worked. But yeah, so once you have an event like that happens in the film, everybody's watching for other events, and that pressure on you as a director is a little higher.
One of the good things about film is it's such a huge team. And you're bringing together everybody from makeup, lighting, acting, script continuity. Everybody has got to all be rolling together, and so it's already a lot of things. But normally, what you do is you spend a lot of time leading up to it, bringing in everyone, getting a sense of all the people on the team and how everyone's going to work. But when you have changes in the middle of it, man, when the changes are big, there's an awful lot of people to keep in mind and to keep connected with the whole effort.
Oh, that's amazing. It's amazing that it went off with a hitch without any more hitches, because you're right. Usually things can domino, I've had those experiences. Nothing like you guys. So it's got to be crazy too, because from a producer point of view, checks have been written. other people have written checks. You know, there's money tied up in this, and then
non-refundable
like down.
Money.
Right. You know, exactly.
Yeah, you know, there was something in the neighborhood of over $500,000 tied up in the film, and that's kind of a spooky place when you get off from Steve's point of view, when you get off the plane and you find out that all the money that you've raised, it almost went careening over the side. And this is why Hollywood films,
right,
when some things happen, I mean, they literally will shut. They will shut down production for a week or two in order to put everything back together again and make sure it's going to work. And we didn't have that luxury. And Steve and I didn't know each other quite as well in that moment, but we became really good friends because of it. And so I was really concerned about Steve and all the work that he had done, and going, you know, we just cannot be in a position where we lose all of this. We lose this production. Everybody was there. And so, you know, you just have to make some choices and do it. And everybody pulled together and we got it done.
Oh, that's amazing. Very inspiring. Very inspiring. I'm going to think of this story next time I have one of the quote unquote, and I'm doing air quotes, one of those days, you know, where I'm like, oh, it's all falling down. It's all coming down around me. It's Bombay. I'll think, well, it could be worse. You know, it's not $500,000 at stake. Oh, my God.
That's right. And hopefully you don't have, you know, 2 dozen people that you also need to, you know, work through issues with one by one, right?
Right.
And
an
actor who called his agent to wonder if he could leave, and because he thought the production was over, and bless Steve's heart for taking that actor aside and talking him back to buy into the production, and then, you know, things went great.
Oh man!
Speaking
that's
of
amazing.
Which, I mean,
that's
that moment with that actor was one of, I think, one of the great examples about bonding. From that moment forward, you know, he's definitely an individual that we are friends. We get each other. It's, you know, there's trust, but all of that stuff is kind of formed out of the crucible that is filmmaking.
That's amazing. That is amazing. I mean, oh, I can't even imagine. You guys have to have stock in you know, in acid or something. It's, I don't know how you did it. I would have been freaking out. Oh my gosh. Well, it's an amazing film. Oh, go ahead. I didn't mean to cut you off.
Oh, I was just going to say, nobody's life was in danger. So I guess at the end of the day, that's kind of the real important thing to keep in mind, is that, you know, the person who got sick got better, and nobody else's life was in danger. And so you're able to kind of power through and move on, knowing that you're in a really fortunate place to make a film that, you know, a while later, somebody like you can enjoy, and that's what it's all about.
Absolutely, absolutely. I was going to say, I could tell that there definitely was a budget to this film, just from watching it. You know, that this wasn't shot over the weekend with an iPhone. Well, I don't know, maybe iPhones shoot really good movies. I don't know. I'm just saying, it didn't look like it to me. This looks. I was watching this and I'm like, oh yeah, there was definitely craft services and probably one of them cranes, maybe drones and all kinds of stuff. You know, Jody
yeah,
had a class for a big bull.
He was able to put together a good budget to do this film justice. And while it's always nice to have, you know, more money, we had enough that we, with a lot of planning and a lot of preparation, we were able to make this work. The director of photography, Dave Barry, was, you know, did a lot of good shots. He was able to pull off and knew and understood how to make what we had work. And we got a sense of scale for the dollar that we did to make it look like we had even more money than we probably had. I've worked on films that have had no budget, and I've worked on films that have had a lot of budget. And I think, and while you can get a great looking film out of having no budget, it's nice to have a little something, because if you can pay people even the bare minimum of what they're worth, they're going to buy in. You can buy the kind of, you can rent the kind of equipment that you need, and you can actually plan some really, really good shots. The one piece that we didn't quite have down when we started was how those memory effects were going to be done. Mm. We had a rough idea of how it would work, but we didn't know 100% how to make that happen. And so we had to find that later on. We had to shoot with an eye towards, well, something's going to go here. And then a couple of other times we didn't shoot with that in mind, but we discovered there was space to make it work. And once we, you know, it took me a lot of thought into thinking about how to do it. And once we'd come up with that, we were then able to work, and we were actually able to create a few more, you know, shots and scenes in there just to kind of bring the hero's power in his mind kind of to life and to see it in real time.
And now, folks, a couple quick messages from some of our show sponsors. Stay tuned. We'll be back with the rest of the interview after these quick messages.
Elbae Mayhem is super excited about their newest venture with MBM Music LLC. With MBM Music, we'll provide artists with a full-service platform to be seen and heard by assisting with necessary products, services, and fashion, all in an effort to increase exposure, fan base, and income. For more information, visit us at mbmmusicllc.com. That's mbmmusicllc.com. You create, we promote, plug in to the network.
Glittering amethyst, energizing citrine, colorful fluorite, the other side of the sun, Earth's treasures brought to light. Since 1999, we have offered a unique collection of hand-selected minerals and gems for every budget, for novices, collectors, and healers. Visit www.tosots.com to view our wide selection of offerings and use coupon code ROCKS, that's ROXX, for 10% off your first order. Remember, TOSOTS.com, Earth's treasures brought to light.
Hi folks, Jamie Rocks here. Hey, if you're a big fan of cool historical books, like me, then you're going to want to check out our newest show sponsor, Michelle Albion, a fantastic author. She's got some really interesting, cool books out that you're going to want to check out. I'm a big fan of all of these. The Florida Life of Thomas Edison, The Quotable Edison, Quotable Henry Ford, Quotable Eleanor Roosevelt, and of course, The Quotable Amelia Earhart. Michelle's just very keen and very, very cool. And these are just very cool books. So check out her website. There's links to where you can pick these up on Amazon and Barnes & Noble, all over the place. MichelleAlbion.com. 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 Very, very cool stuff. Check it out, folks.
I thought it was a very cool fact. I'm surprised that was added after. I thought that would probably be one of the first things because it was so cool. You know, I was like, oh, man.
That's one of the magic things of the editing process, actually, is that once you actually have the final elements, you really have to sit with them and kind of mold them. And one of the things that Jody and I did was to think through how to make the hyperthymesia moments really integral into the film, including inventing things we hadn't really thought about up front. And that's what you got to do. That's what post is about. That's a second phase of productivity. Well, second's the wrong number, but fourth, something like that.
Well, that's amazing.
It's almost like you're reading the film in the editing room. I mean, you write the film multiple times, and then you shoot the film, and you might do a little bit of rewriting on the set, and then when it comes time to edit, you actually have another opportunity to rewrite the movie that you made, and you're hoping that you're rewriting to make already good content better, not that you're trying to rewrite to make bad content decent. And what we did here is we actually got good content to start, and then we were able to work through to make this work. There's something I like to call dream logic, is that every movie has the logic of a dream to it. And, you know, when you're having a dream, you buy a dream as crazy as your dream happens to be. And a lot of the discussions that Steve and I would have in the editing room is what is the logic that we're setting up in the story, in the narrative here, and how are our edits and how are our shots and how are our angles going that way? And I would, because I'm only okay at editing, I would come up with this rough idea of how to do something and give it to Steve, who is creative and much more technically proficient at editing than I am, and he would polish it and take it, and then I would go, well, let's do this, and we would get it to work, and we would create this narrative, and we kept kind of referring back to what is the dream logic of this story, and that's how I, who look at things kind of on a, I don't know, on a much more, not on a much more creative way, but on a very creative way, and Steve, who looks at things slightly more on an engineering way, but that's still kind of short shifts. His creativity, but that's kind of how we come at it, and we were able to make that work together.
I think there's one more thing, which is in the edit, you get emotion and you get flow, and so one of the things I'm gonna hats off to Edward Murch, who's Academy Award winning editor for Steven Spielberg. He's kind of a captured commodity, I think, of Spielberg. And he's really good. And one of the things he talks about is that a couple of his peculiarities, he only edits standing up, and he always listens to music. Yes. And the reason is because a lot of editing is actually about rhythm and flow. The difference between this scene works and this scene doesn't is that the beats have to fall. And that doesn't matter, it doesn't matter whether you're trying to be funny, whether you're trying to be emotional, whether you're, trying to be happy, whether you're trying to be sad. Everything has got to have the right pace. If you wait too long, the line fails, right?
Mm-hmm.
There you go, right? Didn't add anything by that pause, did I? No, I didn't. So you have to understand how people are reacting to what you're presenting, and you have to reconcile, because we knew the script by heart before we started shooting. And we know it to the point of aggravating familiarity by the time we're done with post. But our audience doesn't. And so you've got to put yourself in the mindset of the person who's never seen this before, because I'm ready to watch it at a little faster clip. You know, this could all go 10% faster for me. I know what he's going to say next, but you're not going to know what the characters are going to say next. And so you've got to plan that out.
That was that thing that you had to find, because I remember at one point we had a super slow edit, but at another point we had edited it to within an inch of its life, and it was really short, and it just – it was crazy. And
test audience.
Yeah. And what we
who
finally
had the super fast one, they were like,
And what we finally figured out was that this movie is one that ramps up, where the first part of the film is a bit on the slower side because there's kind of a almost a family drama element to it, with just some hints that things are not quite what they appear. And then there is one moment around the middle of the story, and from that point on, everything gets faster. And by the time you're at the end of the film, it's just moving at this breakneck speed to the conclusion of the story. And
which is what you need
in
a thriller, right? Because once the thriller really kicks in, I can't let my audience stop and have a break. Oh, go have a cigarette. It's fun. No. If you want to go and have a cigarette break, I failed, right?
Right. Then you're right. Absolutely. We've all seen those movies where we're like, yeah, I can go get a snack. I don't have to pause it.
That's
right.
That's
not a good film. Well, it's an amazing film.
That was an interesting discovery that we chanced on. So,
it's fantastic. Now, it is available on iTunes and on Amazon. You guys are saying as well. And tomorrow night, Saturday night, if you're in LA, go see this at the film.
To the Arena Theater in Hollywood at 6 and see the film there.
That's
and
so
actually,
cool.
Jody will be there.
I'll be there.
Go. I was going to say, Steve, you have to leave now. That's a long flight, man.
No,
well,
I'm sorry.
16 hours. Yeah.
I'm going to go make
it
there, man.
He'll be there in spirit.
That's right. Walk around FaceTiming. I'm telling you.
Exactly.
I'm telling you. Oh, man. Well, that's so cool. And it's so cool that you guys have done this. Again, folks, the film is out now on video, so you can watch this. I suggest you do. It's very cool. We have a link up to thedarkplacemovie.com and addition also to the Dark Place Movie Facebook page. So like and share that. Very important. That helps out so much. We live in an algorithm world, and you know, it's just if you dig something, chances are your friends are going to dig it too. So help get the word out. It all helps. Now, one of the things I wanted to ask you before you guys, before we wrap things up, is, and I don't want to give anything away by any means, but I could see where there could be potential sequel in this story. Has any thought been given to that? Or do you please?
Sure, I have. No. I mean, I've worked out in a series of these, and I've worked out a TV series pitch for it. If there's interest and we're able to get the interest, then yes, there is so much that can be done in this universe with these characters and what they're doing. There are two characters that in the film that have kind of an unfortunate end, and they would love. They would love to come back too, and so I've promised people that have had an unfortunate end that we could always bring them back in some way, shape, or form if need be. But yeah, there's a lot of stuff there, and there's a lot of unexplored territory left with the heroes, with the family, with just with Keegan Dark and who he is and what kind of life you would have if you had a predilection for mystery, but you also had this, in essence, a superpower that's natural and normal, but how would you go through the world and what would that do for you in the situation that you found yourself in and the mysteries and the things that you discovered happening around you?
Absolutely. Well, I, you know, the gears are turning, and I hope to see it because I like these. I like this story. I like this universe, as you said. It was a great place to visit, and this is a great whodunit. and figuring out, you know, seeing it unfold, I should say, not necessarily figuring it out, but seeing it unfold, and it surprised me. I don't want to give anything away, but that's all I'm going
to
say.
We're glad to hear it. Glad you liked it.
Yeah, that's always a good testament when people are surprised.
Well, exactly, and you know, the thing is some films you watch and you're just like, you know, it's... This is why I was never a fan of Columbo. And I get it. You're not, you know, you're supposed to see the process of how he figures it out. But, oh, it used to bug me to no end, that show. Because I want to be wrong sometimes. You know what I mean? I want to know. Or I don't want to know, I should say. A magic show is no fun if you know the trick. That's my opinion.
Sure.
Anyhow, The Dark Place, ladies and gentlemen. And Jody and Steve, are you guys working on anything else currently? I know we're focused on The Dark Place right now, but you guys are such a good pair, you know, creatively and making these films.
We have a couple since we've also done a couple of, well, we were on here on the show before talking about another feature that we did, WCF. We produced yet another feature that is that will probably soon be making around a horror film called Puppet Killer, and that one's starting to get some buzz. Done by a pretty cool director, Lisa Obies, and it's a comedy horror that's worth checking out. And then there's a couple of short films that we've done over time. Steve actually directed one called Love Colin, and that's available on video right now. I did another short that is now up on Reverie, which is an online platform, and Pluto TV, which is a free network, free platform, a short film called Hippopotamus, which is a horror short. And then we've got two feature films that we are currently working on getting off the ground. One is another horror film called Beverly Hills Lizard People, which is kind of cute and fun and scary all at the same time. And then we have another movie/series that we're trying to get off the ground called, surprisingly enough, I can't stay away from titles with this in it, but it's called Dark Numbers, and it's kind of a Harry Potter-esque meets Doctor Who type of thing that we discovered this great book series in Belgium, and we optioned it, we've been adapting it, we've been pushing to try to get those off the ground. It's tough when you're, you know, any producers to make this stuff work, but we are just determined.
No, that's fantastic. It's very inspiring, you know. And you guys, not only are you determined, you make it happen, you know, and that's, my hat goes off. Excuse my language, it's not half-assed. These are both films that I've seen of you guys, just blew me away. Dark Place, one of my favorite movies of this year, just fantastic film.
Thank you so much.
Absolutely. Well, we're right up against the time. Again, ladies and gentlemen, we have links to thedarkplacemovie.com and the Facebook page, facebook.com/thedarkplacemovie. These links, of course, follow the show. And, you know, so however you're listening to the show in the future, we're on like 200 podcast platforms right now. Just those links will be there. You can click on them and get right to it. An amazing film. Definitely check this out, The Dark Place. Jody, Steve, thank you so much. And Steve, we didn't mean to keep you up too late. I appreciate it.
No worries. Thanks so much for having us.
Absolutely. I can't wait until next time. Very cool. Right. And break a leg tomorrow night, Jody, at the big show.
Will do. Thank you.
Awesome. As we say in Norwegian, ha det bra. Have it good.
I love it. Oh, that's fantastic. Well, ladies and gentlemen, that's going to wrap it up for us today. We will be back tomorrow. We have another filmmaker we're going to be talking about. It's an interesting film. I watched it last night. It's called Somewhere in the Middle, and it's a documentary tomorrow about, I think there's five different artists who make a legitimate, comfortable living in their various pursuits of what they do, but they're not superstar status. And it's kind of what the documentary is about. It's kind of neat that you don't have to be, Eddie Van Halen to make a living in music. It helps if you are, but you don't have to be. It's a great film. That'll be tomorrow afternoon. We'll be talking with the writer-director, Nathan Ives, on that. So tune in for that tomorrow. This episode, of course, will be converted to a podcast and pushed out on all the various social media platforms. And as I said, all the podcasting platforms we're on a ton of them, and that's a good thing. If you are listening to the show in the future, the big one we're on is Apple Podcasts. And so if you're listening to that in the future, do me a favor. Hit that ratings and review. Keeps us up the top of the page. Baby, that's where we like to be. Makes my job so much easier when I'm talking to advertisers. And, you know, that's not a fun part, but it's definitely part of this business. Thanks for tuning in, everybody. We will see you tomorrow. Thanks, Jody. Thanks, Steve. You guys are awesome.
Thank you.
Take care.
See you later.
This has been pop art painter Jamie Rocks's Pop Rocks Radio Talk Show. It has been executive produced by Jamie Rocks, recorded at his studio in Deerfield Beach in South Florida. All rights reserved by Pop Rocks Limited for broadcast on Blog Talk Radio.
Estás escuchando Jamie Rocks de Pop Rocks Radio. Manténganse al tanto.
Hej, det här är Hicks från Sverige och ni lyssnar till Pop Rocks Radio med Jamie Rocks.
Blog Talk Radio.